The White House unveils its budget.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, President Obama releases his 2012 budget plan today. It's filled with spending cuts, though Republicans are already dismissing it. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow is down 21 points at 12,251. The NASDAQ up about 0.1%, and the S&P 500 is basically flat. Boeing has unveiled its latest jumbo jet, the 747-8. There are 33 orders so far for the $317 million airliner, which is due for a test flight in March. Also, Japan said today its economy shrank last year, which means Japan now has a gross domestic product of $5.47 trillion, which means China is now the world's second largest economy. Both, by the way, are still less than half the size of the U.S. economy. Now let's get to the budget debate that's going on in Washington. The president unveiled his 2012 budget plan this morning. It includes tax increases and spending cuts that add up to more than $1 trillion over the next 10 years. But Washington still ends up spending far more than it takes in, and Republicans say this is too little in terms of cuts. Let's get analysis now from Julia Coronado. She's chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, Julia, let's just get your reaction to this budget proposal from the White House.
Well, there's a lot of talk about deficit reduction, but there's not a lot of meat on those bones. I mean, to put it in perspective, the proposed budget is $3.7 trillion, and that's up from $2.7 trillion as recently as 2006. So, you know, it's not clear that the government really needs to still be spending as much as it is at this stage of our recovery. And I think another very good indication that deficit reduction isn't a top priority is that there's no discussion of entitlement reform. And really, the growth in spending and Social Security and Medicare is going to be the dominant driver over the next few years.
All right. Well, given that there's no discussion of entitlement reform, how are the bond markets reacting? That seems to be a good nonpartisan way of gauging what they, you know, how serious this budget proposal is.
Right. And I think what they're telling us is, again, there's just not a lot here. Keep in mind that interest rates have risen quite a lot over the last few months. Partly that's because of a stronger economy, which means stronger growth and inflation and higher rates. But part of it is also an increasing skepticism about how quickly the government will bring down the deficit. And so investors want a higher premium to lend money to the federal government. And right now, we're not seeing any reaction. So really, they're not seeing any change in the expected outcome as a result of the proposed budget.
All right. Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks so much, as always.
My pleasure.
Well, the unrest continues to spread in the Middle East following Friday's ouster of Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. There were anti-government protests today in Yemen. In Algeria, reformers have called for a demonstration this coming Saturday. And today, tear gas and rubber bullets were fired on protesters in the Persian Gulf island nation of Bahrain. The difference with Bahrain is that, unlike the others, it's a wealthy Arab country. From Amman, Jordan, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
In a bid to defuse today's protest, the king of Bahrain dug deep into his coffers and came up with hard cash. He's promised every household in the country a lump sum of around $3,000. Protest groups in Bahrain denounced this as a bribe, and it won't work, says Mohammed Al-Masri, a political scientist at Jordan University. He says Bahrainis have one of the highest per capita incomes in the Arab world. What the protesters want now is democracy.
They are not looking for more cash in their pockets. They want to be partners in the decision-making process.
Many other Arab regimes have resorted to a similar tactic, for example, increasing the subsidies on food and oil. But few have been as blatant as Bahrain. The scale of today's protest should give some indication as to whether the tactic will work. In Jordan, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions since 1896. ALLIANZUSA.com. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Today, a U.S. government panel called the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States is expected to weigh in on some controversial foreign investment. The Chinese telecom company Huawei wants to take over a California tech company called Three Leaf Systems. Pentagon officials and some members of Congress are concerned the deal poses a national security threat. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz tells us why.
Huawei is run by a former officer of the Chinese military. The fear is that if the company gains a foothold in the U.S. tech market, it'll allow the Chinese government to eavesdrop on classified emails, phone conversations, you name it. David Wolf is a tech consultant in Beijing.
To most of the U.S. lawmakers, what Huawei and companies like it look like is simply an extension of the long arm of the Chinese government, and that makes them uncomfortable.
A Huawei spokesman denies the company has ties to the Chinese government, but a 2008 Pentagon report claims Huawei retains close ties to the Chinese People's Liberation Army. The U.S. isn't the only country that has problems with Huawei. Last week, an EU Commission investigation found Huawei uses an enormous line of credit from China's state-run banks to put itself at an unfair advantage over European companies. As a result, Huawei controls almost the entire wireless modem market in the EU, and it's become the second largest telecom equipment maker in the world. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, talk about a dangerous job. Firefighters in Germany were called to the middle of a frozen lake to rescue a swan that was trapped in the ice. It was a 25-person rescue operation, but when they got to the middle of the icy lake, they realized it was, in fact, a plastic swan put there to scare away other birds. On the bright side, one firefighter said, no one was injured, and at least we got a bit of training in. That's one way to look at it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's actually expensive to work here illegally, which is why a lot of people crossing the border choose to follow the rules.
It's better for us to go legally. If we have papers, we can return and spend time with our families. So we prefer to go and then come back.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the high-cost life of a legal worker. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.